So when I say the number 12, what does it mean to you? Well, I'll tell you what it means to me. Number 12 is the day before my birthday. My birthday is on, by the way, you might want to make a note of this. It's on the 13th of May this coming year. Well, next year. I've had this year, so it'll be next year, won't it? Yes, next year. So the 13th of May. So when you say the number 12 to me, that's the first thing that comes into my mind. Secondly, 12 months in the year. This is nearly the end of 2013, a year that quite a lot of us would perhaps rather forget and look forward to a new year, which, of course, is what we're doing at the moment. But more importantly than that, this is show 12 of the James Whale Radio Show, broadcasting, as we like to think, to the world. Not just here, to the United Kingdom, but via the internet. The internet that reaches out into the universe, reaches out to planets and beings as yet unknown. This, ladies and gentlemen, is Programme 12. Cue the titles.
James Whale!
Okay.
I haven't got a drink. Why have you got a drink?
Have we started yet?
Yes.
Yeah, good. Okay, right. Welcome to the programme. James Whale here. With you on the internet, the James Whale Radio Show, as opposed to other James Whale Radio Shows broadcasting from radio stations around the country. This, of course, is me sitting in my office with my producer, Rob, sitting in his office with a whole bunch of guests all over the place. So today, a little later, actually today, slightly more serious, we're going to talk to Colonel Bob Stewart, who's now an MP, but Bob was commander of UN forces in Bosnia and often has quite a lot to say about military matters. And as I put out on Facebook earlier this week, I wanted to know what you thought about Marine A, who has now been named, but let's just keep referring to him at the moment as Marine A. He's been found guilty of murder. I'm sure everybody is familiar with the story. He shot an insurgent in Afghanistan after the man had been wounded. This happened back in 2011, but of course on most Marines wear cameras now, if not all of them, on their helmets and record everything they do. This was found, the footage of him shooting the insurgent after the insurgent had been wounded. He's now been through the whole process of law. He's been found guilty. He's been given 10 years, and there is quite a bit of a public outcry about that. So stay tuned. Later, we'll talk to Colonel Bob Stewart, now a Tory MP. And, of course, if you want to vent your spleen on this, make your feelings known, just go to our Facebook page and let us know there, or even email the show. Email the show. Rob will tell you the address right now.
JamesWhaleRadio@gmail.com.
Hmm. Ah, JamesWhaleRadio@gmail.com. Did you mention my cup of tea, by the way, when we started?
I did. Why haven't I got a drink?
Well, you see, I popped into the kitchen, and one of the beauties of doing this from home is I could just make a cup of tea before we started the programme, which is normally what I do when I'm on the radio.
Right. So you're saying I should have prepared?
Well, you didn't prepare properly. I mean, you prepared because I have all the notes and all the bits and pieces that you you put up for the show in front of me. So, yes, you were prepared, but you didn't prepare yourself personally, did you?
No, I was relying on other people to provide me with a drink.
Yeah. I've got a very nice pen here as well, which I happen to be staying in a hotel last week, and you know they always provide you with soap and pens and all that sort of stuff in hotels.
Yeah.
So I this was a nice one. So I don't know how, but it just seemed to have slipped into my luggage.
Do you take a lot of stuff home from hotels?
Do I what?
Take a lot of stuff home from hotels.
Well, yeah. There's no point in leaving the stuff there if you've sort of half used the soap, is there really? Oh. You might as well take it home and use it.
Oh, we take everything.
Do you, I must confess that Mrs. W and I do take quite a lot of the stuff, because that's all advertising for the hotel, isn't it?
Yeah, all the bars of soap and the shower gel. Yeah. Even if you've not used it, you've used your own, you think, oh, I'll take that, that'll make a good Christmas present for somebody.
Yeah, exactly. The poor people who don't get out very much.
I'm saying nothing.
I got into so much stick the other day. I think I said on Sky News the other day, I said, you know that Boris, the mayor of London, by the way, Barclays have withdrawn. They're not going to carry on sponsoring the Boris bikes.
Oh, who's now? Who's doing it now?
Well, it's up for grabs, but not until you sponsor the James Whale radio show, brought to you, of course, this week by lovefilms.com. We'll tell you more about lovefilms.com, where you can get all the movies you want. And at the moment, listening to the James Whale radio show, you can get Love Films for nothing. I'll tell you more later. I don't know. Could it be Love Film bikes around London?
Or James Whale bikes around London?
Or James Whale bikes. Yeah, what about me sponsoring the bikes? Because I'm not sure that anybody's going to really want to be associated with the Boris bikes at the moment. Can you think of anybody? Who would want to sponsor them? Who would actually want to sponsor them? First of all, there have been some terrible tragedies, people being killed, not on Boris bikes, but on bikes. It's a pretty hot political potato at the moment. I mean, who would want to be associated with them?
Can't think of anyone.
You know, there's some of these bicycle retailers. What about Evans Bikes? Is it Evans? Or Halfords Bikes?
Halfords. I don't know. That would make more sense.
I mean, whether any of these companies would want to do it.
What are you doing now?
What do you mean? I just knocked the microphone.
Oh.
Do you mean when that happened?
Yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah, no, sorry. I just banned the microphone.
It really hurts my ears.
Does it? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I've got big headphones on.
I won't do that again.
Thanks.
Often. Right. I forgot what I was talking about then, how I got onto Boris Bikes. How did I get onto Boris Bikes?
Stealing from hotels.
Oh, no, not stealing from hotels. I got into trouble, actually, because Boris, I remember what we're talking about now, age. He was saying that, you know, there are stupid people. In fact, I think we did it on the show the other day. There are stupid people. You can't get away from the fact some people are just stupid.
Staying silent, as usual.
Well, I don't know why. I mean, it's, you know, what Boris basically said, you know, they have to be stupid people to make other people feel better about themselves. Not everybody is clever. Not everybody, you know, there has to be the politics. That's what it was, the politics of envy. So not everybody can achieve everything. You know, some people aren't as clever as other people. You know, we can't all be billionaires. We can't all be Theopathetuses. We can't, you know, some of us are just not that clever. And I think I said something upset somebody greatly, and they kept sort of tweeting me. You can tweet me, by the way, if you want, the James Whale. But it's true, isn't it? There are some stupid people around. I see them every day.
Thanks.
Well, you're not rat that stupid. I mean, you're not stupid, because there is some stupidity in you, but...
Okay. That's it. Have another sip of your tea that you cleverly made before the show.
Yeah. I just did.
I know. I can hear it. It's in my ears.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, why doesn't everybody make themselves a cup of tea?
And I can't, because I'm stuck to this desk. Keyboards,
yeah, but
screens,
people
microphones.
Of course, listening to the show can have it on the move. Because, do you know, that's an interesting thing. More and more people are getting themselves Wi-Fi radios.
Better than DAB.
I think DAB's dead in the water.
Hmm. We need to go to
what
Parliament
and
campaign
DAB
for
DAB stand for? Dead, absolutely buried.
I thought you were going to say something else then.
What?
Sounds absolute, like Horrocks.
Absolute bollocks. I wouldn't say that, no. That would be too far. Too far.
I'm not even going to edit that. I'm leaving it in.
Do you know when the word bollocks first appeared, by the way?
No. When?
Well, I mean, it appears in a number of Shakespearean plays.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure before that, I'm sure somebody who is a student of history will let us know when that term for the scrotum actually appeared. It's an interesting... Slang is so interesting, isn't it? Why did we suddenly get to use the word bollocks, which is a slang term for scrotum, when things are... Oh, bollocks! Why? Why did we do that?
Oh, God.
What?
What?
Oh, that was
that?
That was because I'm using one of these. Have you noticed on television they use cheek mics? I'm using a cheek mic today. You know, it comes around the. It's attached to my headphones, and so when I put the cup up, holding the mug, not the handle, so the handle was sticking out, and that sort of just went like that.
Have you got a spoon? Can you?
No.
No.
Oh yeah. Well, I have. Hang on. Yeah, I suppose I could.
You might forget. That's it. We might. Can we just forget the James Well Radio Show and just do the Archers?
Very good. When I was working at WM, lovely radio station in Birmingham the other day, they do the Archers are in a studio. Well, you came down. You saw.
I did.
It.
I saw it. Yeah.
Mm. They do the. The Archers comes from Birmingham. It's made in Birmingham at the studios of WM, BBC WM. By the way, up until Christmas now, I'm working, of course, from the 23rd, by the way, Monday, the 23rd of December, 10 until 1, daytime, 10 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon on BBC Berkshire. But, of course, you can get it online. We were talking about how you can get everything online.
Yeah, Wi-Fi radio.
Yeah, Wi-Fi radio. So you can listen to me all over the country, all over the world on BBC Berkshire. In fact, I'll be there this Saturday because, do you know Matthew Kelly? He's a lovely man. He has a show on a Saturday between 10 and 1. And unfortunately, he's broken his leg.
And that stops him from doing the radio?
Well, you know, it does stop you a bit.
All I can hear is your coffee and tea. What are you drinking?
Sorry, it does stop you a bit. So I'm there this the next four Saturdays. Well, next two Saturdays. And then I'm there every day. During Christmas and the New Year, 10 in the morning until 1. So I will expect everybody to be with me on the radio, and we'll put it through our radio site too, won't we?
We will do. I'll share everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll do that. But that doesn't mean, of course, that we won't be doing a Christmas special. As you can sit in your house and I'll sit in my house. This is how we do the radio show. Very relaxed.
Okay. I am doodling as you speak.
Yeah, I doodle every all the time. By the way, can we just say hello to talentgb.com? They broadcast this program. Lots of listeners coming via talentgb.com. Audio Boo, you could audio boo us if you wish. Justradio.net. These are radio stations, by the way, online radio stations that broadcast this program. You may well be listening to us on justradio.net, coastradio.co.uk, mypicktv.co.uk. Sherbert Radio, which is the news station for London cab drivers, also take this program. Trent Sound, RTFK. What's RTFK Radio? They weren't here last week, were they?
No, they're new. We've got people joining us all the time.
All right. RF. It's not rude, this, is it?
No.
It looks like Rift. It could be a Rift. Are you sure?
Positive.
RFTK Radio, hello to you. You're listening to the James Well Radio Show, courtesy of RFTK Radio. If you want to have this program, by the way, get in touch with us. This is the address.
JamesWellRadio@gmail.com.
At gmail.com. You're listening to the James Well Radio Show. This is show 12. You're listening to us, of course, on the state of technology, the highest state of technology going. Now, we're going to talk in a moment to Colonel Bob Stewart. And, in fact, why don't you get Colonel Bob Stewart up now?
Okay.
If that's okay. I just want to tell you, I've been having chat with a chap who wants me to give Mark Biddis. Hello, Mark. Mark got in touch the other day. He DM'd me and he's sent me a press release. He's organised this pantomime horse race. It's to raise money for Demelza House, which is, I believe, a hospice for children. And if you want, you can find more at mark@pantohorserace.org. It happens on the 22nd of December, and it's in Greenwich, okay? Harry Hill has helped spread the word about the race by posing and filming with the Greenwich Panto Horse, a.k.a. the Rapscallion Stallion, for a short advert. You could find that on YouTube. And Mark also has asked me, he says, I'm looking for anyone who could possibly donate a rickshaw for the day to help ferry Her Majesty the Queen around during the race. Apparently the Queen is going. Oh, lookalike, Patricia Ford. She's coming all the way from Birmingham to take part, and we would really like to find a rickshaw. So if any of you have one of those appalling rickshaws you see going around London, donate it to them for the day to take the Queen around Greenwich. Then get in touch at mark@pantohorserace.org. You can find him there. Also, they've got a Queen tribute band playing. The Queen is going to appear on the balcony of Davenport House in Greenwich. It's all going to be a great day. All kicks off about 11 o'clock, goes on all through the day. And then there's a party, dancing, music, the whole thing afterwards. And it all happens on Sunday, the 22nd of December. There'll be stars from soap operas, TV, all kinds of people will be there as well, including Cheryl Baker. Cheryl Baker from Bucks Fizz, one of the girls who lost her skirt, is going to be making an appearance there as well. So if you would like to go along, all you got to do is turn up in Greenwich sometime on Sunday, the 22nd of December. Thank you, Mark, for that. If you've got something you want us to plug, get in touch. Facebook us, email the show, whatever you want to do. Now, Rob, how are you doing?
Doing great. We're going to go to a jingle now, and then we'll have Bob after the jingle.
Okay, let's try this one.
You are listening to James and Rob on the James Webb Radio Show.
There we go.
Lunatic Asylum, Westminster Branch.
Oh, that must be Colonel Bob Stewart.
Yes, correct.
James Whale. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Hello, James.
Are you ready to talk to me?
I'm always ready to talk to you, Jamebo.
Fantastic. Well, let's do it.
Right.
Bob Stewart, Member of Parliament, one-time Colonel, Commander of Her Majesty Forces, UN Forces in Bosnia, wasn't it, Bob?
Correct, James.
Now sitting in the House of Commons as a Tory MP. I want to talk to you today about the naming of Marine A. And before we talk about the whole issue, let's just talk about the fact that he's been named. Do you think that was fair?
No, I don't think it's a good idea. And I tell you why, not for him particularly, but for his family. He's guilty. He's serving time for his crime. But his family... by him being named, his family could become a target for nutters who actually want to do harm. And therefore, it becomes a problem not only for them, but it also becomes a problem for the local police that must actually take this into account.
Why do you think they decided to do it?
I don't know. I've got no idea. Presumably, someone in the judicial chain feels that it's right and proper because of open justice, whatever. I don't agree with them. But actually, here's the point, James. I was not the person that made the decision, and I don't know all the facts.
No, and neither of us were in the court either. So let's talk about this. As you know, there has been an enormous public outcry about the whole business. And I've got just a few responses in front of me. Let me share just a couple with you. Rob Murphy says, for instance, the guy is a brave British hero. This shouldn't have happened. Mike Grady says, it's the fact his family are now in potential danger with his name released. Oh, wait, I forgot. The Taliban and insurgents have morals, adhere to human ethics, and wouldn't dream of taking retribution against his loved ones. John Hampson says, did they name the Bulger killers, baby pea killers? Political cowards, if you ask me. And Barry Smith says, they keep secret child killers' names, but not a soldier who killed in the heat of battle, wrongly, according to a convention that the other side does not adhere to. A lot of very angry people about this. What do you think, Bob, former commander of soldiers? What would you have done if it had been one of your men?
Right. I mean, child killers are not named. The fact of the matter was the soldier was serving on duty, and the fact of the matter, his family are utterly innocent. And the fact of the matter is that they could be put in danger by this. So I almost 100% agree with the sentiments with regard to the family.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people feel that he's been very badly treated, that here is a man that, after all, we trained to kill, did just that, and now he is hounded in the press and the media as a murderer.
You said the word trained to kill, James. I've got to interrupt you. He's also trained not to kill. The fact of the matter is, the Marine A, I'm not going to use his name, Marine A knew very well when and when not to kill, because he actually announced that he was about to break the Geneva Convention. As far as I understand it, from the reporting suggested that he announced that I am just about to break the Geneva Convention, and then he shot the Taliban soldier.
Yeah.
And killed him, when he clearly, obviously understood that he was breaking the rules. It was not in hot blood. Let's be quite honest. The guy is a tremendous soldier. Must have been a tremendous soldier, and that day he had a brainstorm and he did something wrong. Now, you can't do it. You just can't do it. This court of soldiers, or let's say officers who have been in combat in much the same way as Marine A, actually decided the guy had acted wrong and found him guilty. Now we're talking about the tariff. The general court martial breached that situation and said he's guilty of murder, and the judge advocate general advises as to what the tariff should be. And the tariff, presumably, they would want it to be as light as possible, but actually the tariff decided for that was 10 years, which is relatively light for murder one, what it was. Now, after that, he will be going to prison, but no doubt he'll be appealing. And that appeal will be heard by appeal judges, civilians, by the way, who will actually look at the evidence, but most of all, they will actually look at the arguments which we don't see used by the judge advocate general who decided what the tariff should be. And those words will not be seen in public, and the judges of appeal will look at the whole trial. They will also look at the arguments as to why the judge advocate general recommended such and such a sentence. We probably won't see that because these guys don't make it public. And that's the situation. Now, you and I and the public, I totally understand why the general public are really upset about this. I am upset about it. But I put one thing to you. A lot of people in the army have told me that he did a great deal wrong. And there's something else apart from his family. It's the other soldiers. Now, imagine this. One of our brave men is caught by the Taliban next week. He stands scant chance because your people that have written to you have said and suggested the Taliban don't act on the same rules as us. They don't. But we have to apply the rules of war. We have to obey the Geneva Convention, otherwise we're like them. But if the Taliban get one of our men, and his chances are pretty slight, there'll be a damn sight more slight if actually this Marine A is seen to have been treated really, really lightly and got away with it. And our soldiers are aware of that, so they understand. And the fact of the matter is, all of them understand, as I do. I'm sorry I'm going on, but I feel it. People have got to understand.
And that's what I want you to help us understand, Bob. But basically, this man has been made an example of so that nobody else would ever consider, or hopefully never consider, doing the same thing.
I don't think that's right. I think this man has been given a sentence because of what he's done. But as part of that, it is absolutely right that sentences are publicly known about so that people understand that it's wrong. If a British soldier can walk up to a prisoner of war, which is what he was, and actually say, right, well, I think it's time this guy shuffled off the earth. I'm going to break the Geneva Convention. I'm going to shoot him. If that is actually what we want our soldiers to believe in and possibly do. I disagree with that, and so do most of the people in the army, because the boot can be on the other foot too, albeit the fact that the Taliban probably won't act like we are, but we should actually be an example of how to behave. The problem is this. It can change dramatically in seconds. You can be shooting an enemy, you could be trying to kill him, that enemy is then captured by you. Whereas you've been able to shoot him legitimately under the rules of war 2 seconds ago, when he puts his hands up and surrenders, that man has surrendered. And suddenly, there's a huge reversal. You are actually duty-bound to care for that man as though he is your own, and look after him or her, could be a her, just as much as you would look after one of your own. And that is the real problem, and it can happen in seconds. And if this soldier, this Marine, had been in combat and been fighting for his life and seen his friend murdered beside him 1 second, and suddenly the guy that's just shot his friend right beside him suddenly sticks his hand up, puts a white flag up and surrenders, I suspect the judges would be a damn sight more lenient if the guy suddenly said, "You devil," and turned round and shot them. You can't do that just having killed my mate Fred. And, you know, it is up to the judges to make this kind of call. And
sorry to interrupt you, Bob, but the thing, reading about this story, is that these guys on this patrol had, I believe, come across a number of their comrades who'd been mutilated by the Taliban. Some of their limbs hung in trees, apparently something the Taliban do just to try and affect the morale of our soldiers. This particular Marine, and let's not use his name because I don't think he should have been named as well as you. This particular Marine had also lost his father. His father had died, and that is a strain on everybody. Some soldiers can cope remarkably well. Other people, for whatever reason, suddenly there's a breaking point. Now, if I can take you, Bob, back, and I won't do too much of this, but an interview we did many years ago, and you told me the story when you came across, you remember you came across a really pretty horrific scene while you were out in Bosnia of people who'd been executed. I think it was in a cellar, and some of them were women and children. Was that right?
Yes.
I mean, yes, had your men suddenly come across the people who'd done that, would they have been able to control themselves, do you think?
My men?
Yep. Yes.
The answer is yes, they would have done. The point is, this guy, Marine A, blew it. You know, he had a wobbler in just at that time. He made a mistake at that time. He was an outstanding soldier. When, after the verdict of guilty, his counsel, his QC, who will no doubt be representing him, will have made a plea in mitigation of punishment, saying, "Look, this guy's a great bloke, he's married, he's got a great family, I don't know the details, but you know, he's done 6 tours, they've been deeply affected by seeing the limbs of men up on trees or whatever, their own friends, they're deeply upset," and all that will go down. But the problem is, James, we can't make that judgment call. All I can say, it doesn't seem that he was so out of control when he in the evidence, he turned around and said, "I'm about to break the Geneva Convention." Yeah. That but seems to me different.
Isn't that, though, bravado? Isn't that the... I mean, even... Yeah, you've told me
it's
some stories,
that.
Horrendous stories.
It is bravado.
Sorry, go on.
It is all that. It also might be, you know, just a sort of reaction. I mean, well, these guys have seen horrific sights. They might be... I mean, when I've been involved in seeing people dying, I start shaking. You know, and... people have different reactions. It may well be bravado, it may be all sorts of things, but it didn't seem it in the evidence as what we saw. And that's why I repeat, we are not the judges. The judges actually try to take all this into account. And when the appeal judges look at this, they will look at the whole trial, and they will also look for mitigation of punishment, and they will also particularly look at why the judge gave that tariff. And this evidence will come from the judge advocate general, I suspect, to the appeal judges as to why he said 10 years.
A number of people have said that soldiers can quite often be suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, but behaving in quite a rational way. And one of the ways PTSD would present itself could well be in a soldier becoming very violent and very cold and violent in a situation like this.
Yeah, and that sounds to me like a good thing that the defense should bring up. And no doubt that was considered. If a psychologist could actually say this guy had PTSD, and presumably he was checked out for that as part of the defense scheme. I presume I would have done that. If the guy had PTSD and it can be in any way proven, that's a damn good reason why he should not be considered culpable. But I presume that hasn't been done.
Sorry,
I don't know. I presume that hasn't been done.
I was going to say, do we look after the psychological problem? I mean, you are a bit strange, Bob, it has to be said, but you're fairly well-balanced for a Member of Parliament.
I'm more than strange, I'm very weird, James. Have we got it right on psychological checking after operations yet? The answer is we'll never get it quite right. We're trying to get better. When I came out of Bosnia, there was none of this PTSD. I won't say checking. There was none of it. But I just had this feeling that my men needed to calm down. And so what I did, in consultation with my superiors, was bring them out of Bosnia, and we kept them on the coast of Croatia for 2 days or so before we flew them home. It was just a feeling, a gut feeling, that we needed to actually try and calm people down from being in combat to going home to their wives and their children. I mean, I had enough problems when we had telephones given to us in Bosnia.
Yeah.
And these telephones are a great idea. Everyone likes the idea. But let me just give you a scenario. A soldier gets, say, 5 minutes free talking to his wife. The soldier rings the wife. The wife says, "Hello, darling. Oh, it's fantastic. You know, hello, sweetie." You know, and it goes on. And then he says, "Look, darling, I want to tell you about little James. He's starting to walk. And, you know, and I think he's starting to talk. And he's saying, 'Daddy.'" And the husband says, "Yeah, yeah." Of course, he's not thinking quite the same. And the wife says, "Are you listening to me?" And the bloke says, "Yes, of course I am. You know, I'm really interested. What did I just say?" And he perhaps doesn't say. And then the next thing, you have a row, and the phone goes down, and it's been worse than before they had the phone call. And, you know, it's because they're on totally different, you know, they're on different scenarios. Wife at home, looking after the children, really valuable job, incredibly difficult when husband's away. Husband on operations, trying to do his best, thinking about he's got to go out in half an hour's time, and he might be a bit frightened. And he might be thinking, and so his mind's not fully on being engaged with his wife, talking about day-to-day things. And that's what you've got to try and get right when you come back. If you can, get it right. And that was the feeling I had, because I saw this phone call scenario. In fact, it sort of happened to me too. But I mean, the fact is, you know, I saw that, and that's why we've got to try and get the psychological calming down right.
That's why I think a lot of people have a problem with this guy who did this thing, who probably has, I mean, he's a sergeant, so he must have been a pretty good soldier.
Yeah.
He's a Marine, so he has to,
honest,
you know,
Royal
he
Marines
has to...
are probably, if not the best soldiers in the world, very close to it.
Yeah. So he will, I'm sure, have either killed or seen people being killed, and that has to have an effect on a human being? Can we actually judge them in the same way as somebody who commits a murder in civilian life? I mean, here's a man
not
who,
quite.
A, knows how to kill. Sorry.
Not quite, James. Listen, James, I'm so sorry. They've just called a division in the House of Commons.
You must
Can I
go,
come back
Bob.
To you?
Thank you for explaining some of this. And it's I think it's a debate that will continue and, of course, must continue if we're going to get more people wanting to join the army.
Absolutely. And I'm so sorry I've got a rush. But as ever, my friend, it's a real delight talking to you.
Bob, thank you very much indeed. That was Colonel Bob Stewart, ex-commander of UN forces, of course, in Bosnia, and now a Tory MP. Back after this.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
Welcome back. James Whale Radio Show. My thanks to Colonel Bob Stewart, who's now gone off to vote in the House of Commons. Of course, you might be listening to this on a day when they're not voting, but that's the beauty. And if you are a new listener, welcome to the James Whale Radio Show. You can hear us here online anytime you wish. And this is number 12, so there are another 11 hours of me talking quite often rubbish, but every now and then there are a few pearls. And I think you will agree there can be no better person to talk about this issue, I think, than Bob Stewart. And I'd be interested to know what you think. Facebook me during the week and we'll include some of your thoughts on that on next week's programme as well. Thank you very much indeed to Bob Stewart. Now, before we go any further, let's do the competition. Last week's competition, we've got this great competition and it's very easy to enter. So you can enter as well. Are you still there, Robert?
I'm still here.
Did we have many people enter last week?
We did. We had lots of people. I even entered last week.
Well, you're mad. Did you get the box of books, by the way?
I did get the box of books. They're all ready to go out, all signed and dated. Yeah. You dated them all this time.
Yeah, I dated them all because I thought that was rather nice, you know. Because most of you, of course, will want to get hold of my autobiography. What a great Christmas present that is going to be. What a brilliant Christmas present. Almost a Celebrity, written by James Whale, back in, I think it was 2006 or 7. Available still. You can win a copy, by the way, today. I'm going to tell you how to do that in a moment. But more than that, for just a couple of quid, hardly anything, you can go and download the audio copy. Where do they download that from? Amazon and places
or
like that.
Audible. It's from.
Or what?
Audible.
Audible. Okay, yeah. You can download it from Audible, and you can have me. Because if I'm not on the radio enough for you over Christmas, then you can have a few hours of me reading the book to you. And Rob does that all the time, and I try and catch him out by asking him questions.
Go on, ask me a question.
No, not at the moment. We're doing a radio show.
Okay.
Yeah, one of the things is I've run out of tea. Last slurp. Thank you very much indeed. So, the competition last week, the winner was Yvonne Warwick Got. Are you sure?
What?
Yvonne Warwick Goble or Gobble?
Whichever way she prefers.
G-O-B-L-E. How would you pronounce that?
Gobble.
Yeah. Yvonne, well done. You win Ashley Tubridy's EP, From the Outside. You love this. Why are we giving so many of these away?
Because it's a great EP.
Is it a good Christmassy song?
No. It's got four or five good songs on it.
All right,
it's not
okay.
Christmassy.
You also get Ho Ho Ho, Merry Christmas with Bells On. And as I said before, a signed copy of my book with the photographs in as well. Almost a Celebrity, Yvonne. All those things will be winging their way to you. Now, this week's competition, you get the signed copy of my book with the photographs in, limited edition of Ho 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 Merry Christmas with Bells In, and you get the signed copy of what? What do you get the signed copy of?
Ashley Tubridy's EP, From the Outside In.
Yeah, because he's obviously a mate of Robbo's.
It's a girl! She's the 11-year-old girl we had on the show!
All right, yeah. I always think of Ashley as a boy's name. It's not one of your children, is it?
No!
All right, okay, fine.
You're going to get me into so much trouble.
Calm down, goodness sake.
You get all these nice prizes and you go and slag them off.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, you know, right, fine. I'm more into sort of Motown heavy metal, you know, but I'm not into sort of...
I'm reggae.
And reggae, yeah, and reggae. I'm still. Actually, Kevlar Taxi, who gets a mention on every one of these programs, and he plays this program out in his cab, I think, in Cardiff. He says if it's the last thing he does, and I hope it won't be, he's going to get us a reggae band on the show.
How do they enter the competition? Good.
How do they what?
Enter the competition. How do they take part?
I'm just going to get to that. Oh. Why do you interrupt? Don't bloody interrupt.
We've only got an hour.
I'm going to do the competition.
Okay.
For all those things, there's no question. All you have to do is share the link for this show on Facebook, and we'll pick a winner from the share list. Okay? Go to facebook.com/James Whale Radio, and we will pick one of you out, like we picked out Yvonne Warwick. Gobble. And we will pick one of you out on next week's show. So, there we are. You get my autobiography, a limited edition of Ho 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 Merry Christmas with Bells On, a signed copy of Ashley Tubridy's EP From the Outside In. If you are the one we pick out who shared our link on Facebook. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Go to facebook.com/James Whale Radio. Well done. Right, I think I got there in the end, didn't I?
Yes.
We've got a Danish heavy metal band coming up. So if you're into heavy metal, don't go away. Now, did you see Panorama the other night?
I did.
On charities. Did you see that? Isn't that appalling?
Terrible.
Lots and lots of money that is being donated to charity is not going to the right place. Now, I have a charity, the James Whale Fund for Kidney Cancer. You can go to the website, jameswhalefund.org, and that will tell you all about it for people who've been diagnosed with kidney cancer and their families. It is a struggle to raise money, and you don't want to waste it. That is for sure. Kidney cancer is a fairly rare cancer. We try to raise between £150,000, £250,000 a year just to keep the charity going, to supply the website and all the bits and pieces. But some charities raise millions. And Panorama last night, I mean, there are people paying out, well, more money than our charity has raised so far its entire life, I think. How on earth can this be? Colin Ball, emailed us. He said, I always suspected charity donations were creamed off to pay massive salaries, 130K per annum with a 500K payoff for one. And this is this was Amnesty International, I think, that was involved in this. I always thought you work for either nothing or expenses. Now, I am not saying they should not get paid, but certainly shops nationwide are mostly run by unpaid volunteers. So to see organisers, etc., paid so much, it's a bit rich. I agree, but you have to pay people to do charity work. I have, if I'm going to run around the country, I can't afford to go from here to Glasgow and back and things like that to do stuff for charity. They will pay my expenses. If you want somebody to do something for charity, lots of celebrities, some very, very wealthy celebrities, not all celebrities are wealthy, by the way, which is an interesting point. But yes, charities do have to pay out. But some of these, paying off a chief executive £500,000 is better than you get, I think, in day-to-day life. But, Rob, you've got an answer to all of this, haven't you?
Yeah, you know the food standards ratings you see on cafe doors?
Yep.
Have you seen that? We have them in Wales. You have to actually physically put them on the actual
door.
Yes. Well, I'm thinking the same should be done for charities. You know, when you donate a pound, there should be a rating of how much of that pound actually physically goes to the actual cause. And obviously they work out how much is actually wasted, or not wasted, but goes on the management fees and all the rest of it. So that when you're walking down the high street and these people accost you and try and sign you up for a charity.
I refuse to allow my charity to use what are called chuggers.
Chuggers.
Charity muggers. These people, usually students trying to pay their way through college, who won't take no for an answer.
That's right.
Really annoying people. I blame the whole way it all started off. And there are a couple of companies that employ this, and they have to go out and they have to engage you in conversation. And if you say no, they chase you down the street. I didn't get violent, but I'd turn around and give them a whale look and say, Listen, it's not a good idea for you to talk to me again. Move away from the whale.
So imagine that every charity shop window or door has a sticker which has a star rating, which represents how much of the pound that you're giving goes to the people that need it. Before you go in, you can say, well, actually, I'm not going to give my money to this charity because the star rating's too low. I'm going to try a different charity. And that will make that charity then improve and try and get the ratings up. Also on the tins, you know, that you can have a star rating on the collection tin.
Yeah, we use people collecting with tins outside supermarkets and things like that, who are regulated, by the way. And who, those people who do it, in many cases, the companies who arrange it, they get paid as well. So we don't, as far as I understand it, we get a percentage of what they raise. So, no, I mean, charity is a business.
It is a business.
And if it wasn't a business, there would be no charity. And it's all right for loads of people to say, with the best will in the world, well, we're doing this for charity, we're doing this, we're doing that. And they raise some money at their local fete or their local bring and buy or whatever. But charity has to be a business to bring in the amounts of money. But I think what Panorama showed us the other night on television is that a lot of these charities have been arranging some functions that end up, they cost enormous amounts of money. They put on extravagant balls and fundraising things, and the fees to do it, because, you know, you have to hire, you don't get everything for nothing. We put on a ball not so long ago, and although we got a good deal from the venue we put it on at, we still had to pay.
Of course.
So, you know, you're not going to get it for nothing. But I think I think you're absolutely right. I think there needs to be a lot more regulation. I think it needs to be more upfront as to how much of the money you are donating to that charity goes in running the charity. And by the way, just because some of the money goes to running the charity, that is still running the charity, which is good.
Yes, that's
because
right.
Because the charity is set up to help people who need the help. So you need people there to do it.
You do.
But well, I think your idea is a good one.
The higher the star rating, the better the charity.
And I also think we should get rid of chuggers. I wouldn't give money to any charity that employs people to chase you down the street saying, and then trying to sort of embarrass you if you won't talk to them. It doesn't happen to me much anymore because I think the word has spread. But when I see people who are embarrassed in the street, particularly people who look a little vulnerable, and these sort of overconfident kids chase them down the street and try and get them to sign up so much a month on their credit or debit cards, it's not on.
Some of them trick you. They say, we don't want any money off, we just want your name and address and your phone number. And that's it, they've got you. They harass you over the phone, they send you all the junk mail in the post, and if you don't get any response off you, they then sell your details onto another charity. And why is it they always dress like they work in an Apple store with them bright T-shirts?
Anyway, listen, I'm available for charities and things, and I am very reasonable. I'm also available for grand openings. Not weddings, though. Why am I not available for weddings?
Because you said last week you don't do weddings.
I don't do weddings, you're right, I just wondered. I do very good after dinner or after lunch talks, if anybody wants me. Voiceovers. Voiceovers are really good. Email me, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. And I could put you in touch with Phil at Q Talent, my agent, couldn't I? Well, if I don't advertise myself, how on earth am I going to be able to afford the time to sit here and do things like this?
That is very true.
Ah, I think I feel a commercial coming on.
For Love Film?
For Love Film, yes. Our friends at Love Film have said that they're going to give all of us now listening, a one-month trial of Love Film. Free movies for a month. And that starts from when you sign up for them, doesn't it?
It does.
So if you get in there now, and that means you're going to get the whole of the month of December. Well, probably a bit more, because you might be listening to this whenever. But it still goes on, doesn't it, whenever you're listening to this. From whenever you click on Love Films, you will get a free one-month trial of Love Film. You've all heard about Love Film. Go to our website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Click on Love Film banner. Do it now. Do it now. It's on the top of the screen. Oh, do you know, I had some anchovies for my lunch. They're just coming back. Oh, gosh.
Great.
Register for the free trial Loads of films over Christmas. If you feel it's not for you, you can cancel at any time before the month is up. And for every free trial, Love Film will help sponsor this show. So you're keeping the James Whale Radio Show online going. And it will continue to go whilst we can continue to afford to keep Rob sitting in his house in North Wales. So if you're lucky, you get a games console or a smart TV this Christmas. I'm not sending you that, by the way. I don't do Christmas cards either. You want to get Love Film. Why not do it through us? Do it through us and help sponsor the James Whale Radio Show. Go to jameswhaleradio.co.uk and click on the link at the top of the page. Click on lovefilm.com. Click on there and follow the link. Sign up for 1 month and that helps us. Sign up. And you get the first month absolutely free. So if you don't want to carry on, you can cancel it. You get a month of free movies courtesy of lovefilm.com. And you help sponsor this show, jamesworldradioshow.co.uk. Click on the Love Film banner. Now, I wanted to talk a bit about... Did anybody see the London Palladium, the Royal Variety performance the other day?
I Sky Plus'd it.
Did you Sky Plus? Have you watched it?
I have watched it, yes.
It's not... I've got to be careful because friends of mine sort of were involved. I have to say, who was the Irish comedian who came on in his underpants?
That did the curtain thing with the Queen? The waving through the curtain?
Yeah, because I... That wasn't Jason Byrne, was it?
I think it was.
Was it? Just didn't work for me. You know, why would you wear such ugly underwear in front of Her Majesty?
His Majesty.
Oh, sorry, yes, His Majesty. Well, it doesn't matter which Majesty it was. Why would you...
She's watching at home, isn't she?
There was one really good bit, and that was when Dame Edna Everage went into the royal box.
That was the funniest night.
Now, that was classic.
Yeah, but that was it, though.
Yeah, that was it. I like Robbie. I like Robbie Williams, but and Ollie Murs, they were good. I quite like that. But and I have to say, John Bishop, I think, is a brilliant comedian. I think John Bishop was really good. He was nervous at the beginning. I thought he was good.
Mm.
Harry Hill.
Mm.
I just thought that was... I couldn't see the point, to be honest.
I think you should stick to TV burp and you've been framed.
Yeah. Alison Jones says, James, I don't usually bother, but watched it last night. Quite enjoyed it. John Bishop was good. Loved Ollie and Robbie. Low point for me, though, was definitely Andrew Lloyd Webber. Yeah, do you know, that didn't work for me, I must admit. That's the Profumo musical. I tell you what else didn't work for me. You know the musical that Harry Hill's done as well about X Factor?
Oh, I Can't Sing.
Yeah. I mean, that just seemed crap. I'm sorry, but you know... It's my show. I'm allowed an opinion on this show.
Couldn't you have just said bollocks?
Yeah, yes. Well, Dale Stafford said it was a load of old, just what you mentioned.
Oh, Phil great. Sutton, now I feel guilty.
Sorry?
Well, you're not going to say it, and I've just said the word bollocks.
Yes, I know. Phil Sutton said Robbie Williams is so far up his own backside, it's a wonder he's not inside out.
I had to edit that.
And, what?
I had to edit that a bit. Sorry.
Why? Oh, really?
He said a few other words there. I had to change them a bit. But use your imagination.
Oh, dear. Silly ass. Lisa Singer said, hello, Lisa. She said, loved it. It was the best Royal Variety performance ever. So there we are. Still, never mind. Let's have another bit of music. How long? We can't have long to go, actually. We probably have to finish before long.
No, this is it. This we'll probably go straight after this.
Well, let me just thank you, everybody, again. All our friends at TalentGB.com, Audio Boo, Just Radio, Coast Radio, MyPick TV, Sherbert Radio, Trent Sound, RFTK. If you would like to broadcast this program, just get in touch with us, jamesworldradio.co.uk. Tell your friends about the program, please. Share us on Facebook. Don't forget to enter the competition. And to help keep the program going, then just go and see our sponsors, Love Film. If you click on the Love Film banner on the front page at jamesworldradio.co.uk, you can have a free month of movies courtesy of Love Film. Whilst I'm saying all of that to you, I'm looking around for my bit of paper that tells me about the last bit of music on the show today, which I've now found. So, Rob, say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much indeed. This is a Danish metal band. They're called Witch Cross. Now, this is a bit of headbanging music for you. It's a track called Demon in the Mirror from the album Axe to Grind. Tell your friends about the show. See you soon. JamesWhaleRadio.co.uk. Enjoy.
And as always, if you want to have your music played on the show, just email us, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. See you next week.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/JamesWhale Radio Show or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.